This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. There's more on power987.co.za.
I'm Ayabong Atawe. Thank you for downloading this Power Business podcast.
11 minutes it is after 7 p.m. Now we're going to our market concentration conversation, and today we're taking a look at the vaping sector. Now, globally, the nicotine products industry, which includes tobacco and electronic vaping products, is at a critical stage of transition and development as consumers are shifting from formal combustible cigarettes to new generation products such as open vaping systems. Now, the South African market, although at an earlier stage of development, has followed this particular global trend, and electronic vaping product sales have been growing, and although they've been growing at a slower rate here in South Africa compared to many leading markets, the market is certainly consolidating. And Zodwa now joins me in our studio to talk about this particular industry. So Zodwa, compliments of the new year, Masqale Apo. And I must remind many of our listeners that they might have heard your voice before in your previous life as someone who spoke on behalf of a Dutch brewer, Heineken. So Masqale also na Vapor Product Association, and as we do so, Nokwamkela Upper Power Business.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you for having me, and compliments to you and to the listeners. And indeed, thank you for the opportunity.
So for some of us who might not be aware, as by Ituba Lituba, what is vaping?
Vaping, as you've actually correctly put it out, it's really an innovative way that has been proven to be more safer than your traditional cigarette. And I think what has been very, very important about it is that it has really been proven to be 95% safer. And it does not come with all the toxins and the challenges of your traditional cigarette as we know it. And I think that is why it has actually been growing throughout globally in other markets. And as you say, it has actually taken off far more, like in your countries or like US and in the UK, in France and so on. Yes, in South Africa, it is still very new. But I mean, we've recently done an economic study with Kenback that actually shows that it is growing by 7% year on year in South Africa. Wow. And it's actually projected to grow even more within the next 10 years. So looking at the revenue generates, we are sitting at about 1.1 billion. And certainly within the next 10 years, we're looking at an increased number of people that we will actually even employ, moving from about 4,000 people to actually about 10,000 people. So in a nutshell, I mean, obviously, we are an industry association. Yeah. We represent the manufacturers, the wholesalers, the retailers of various gadgets into the vaping. So we've got coil members, those that manufacture coil, those that sell the liquid, those that sell the devices, and obviously some of the market leaders or the bigger players will sell the total combination.
Sure, sure.
So that's what we are all about.
Is this, as some people have suggested, just about the survival of big tobacco, right? That they've realized now that potentially going forward, there isn't much of a future market when it comes to combustible cigarettes, the traditional ones. And therefore, they're now really trying to lay the land out in a way that would ensure their continued survival by transitioning to safer products and to e-cigarettes and vaping systems as well.
Well, I think that the truth of the matter is that companies that survive the most are those that are constantly innovative and looking for what is new, what it is that their consumers are looking for.
Yep.
And I think we've seen quite a huge drive on many of the consumers in all the fronts, looking for things that are safer. They're reading more about what it is that they consume, what impact do they have on their health. And they've actually taken initiative to say, with all these concerns that are there, we can no longer ignore them. So what then becomes the alternative? And you've seen them, you know, buying into some of the vaping companies. And we've also seen them actually spending a lot of money on research and development as far back as in the 90s because they actually saw the trend. So I think it's actually, you know, there are various ways of looking at it. Survival, obviously, you need to, as a company within your industry, you need to see what the shifts are. But also the consumers are demanding something that is actually going to be safer for them. So I think it's actually both ways from where I'm sitting.
When you look at some of the South African players as an industry body, How much local content is there in this space? I mean, are some of the coils manufactured here or assembled here? Do we have some of the liquid being made here? Which parts or components of that entire value chain are actually either made here now or have the potential to potentially be provided and produced here?
So the industry is still very new. So there's absolute huge scope for growth. And I mean, we've got the research to actually, you know, prove that there are opportunities right through the value chain. So most of your gadgets, you'd find that they're still imported because we do not have a manufacturer locally. But as for the components, you've got your coils, you've got your liquids. You know, obviously, then there's whole logistics around it. You find that, you know, we're actually able to support those areas of the value chain of the industry. But does it mean that it's sufficient? Of course not. I think that, as I say, it's a growing industry. There are so many opportunities for everybody that is actually interested in entering, obviously within the ambits of what is acceptable of the industry. Yeah.
And I mean, I'm interested also in some of the elements of the study that you undertook. There potentially would have been impact measures or estimation of the kind of impact that this industry has already had. Of course, we had an offline conversation now about some of the health benefits and the impact that many users of this have already professed. But the big question would also be then on the economic front, where are we seeing some of the impact when it comes to jobs, when it comes to a new investment?
So just in terms of what people are saying, what we have done is the association, when we were still in the process of commenting on the bill, we invited those that are vaping across the country to say, give us your testimonials. What has been your experience with vaping since you've started? And we received about 10,000 testimonials of such individuals. We collated all of them as we received them as an association, and we submitted them to the Department of Health to consider as they look as to what then becomes the best solution for the industry. So that's the first thing I wish to say. It's not me saying there has been benefits. It's people that have actually come out with those testimonies. And then insofar as the economic impact, I think I've already alluded to the fact that we've seen about 4,000 jobs being created by the industry, and it is actually bound to grow as people take interest on what the product is all about. Yeah. They get educated about it, what is acceptable and what is not. So I do think that, I mean, there is absolute opportunity in this industry just by looking at the statistics as we actually have it.
Yeah. And of course, the other dimension is some of the legislation that is currently in the cycle here. You've complained as an association that oftentimes you are lumped together with formal combustible cigarettes and other products without really taking into account that there are distinctions and structural differences in the products here, and by extension also differences in the health impact of the product, which necessitate that the regulatory environment should be different.
Absolutely. So the main thing that is there again is to say it, that as an industry, we are not anti-regulation, we are not anti-legislation. It's a new product, and our government's got an interest absolutely on the health of its citizen. So we are not at that level. However, we are saying the approach that the department has actually adopted is not the one that is actually going to assist in making sure that people get taught or they're informed about this product, about its benefit, and certainly about the different, you know, products that are actually out there in the market and what benefits they can actually achieve out of that. And I mean, that's where we actually said that the traditional tobacco market, they've actually been there for hundreds of years, and they've done so many research, and there's been such consequences that have actually been found in that market that government is trying to deal with. That which they then found is actually not found insofar as the e-cigarettes are concerned, because none of those research show what government is actually trying to actually regulate. And that is why we're actually saying, do not lump us the same as your cigarette. We different. It's the e-cigarette. Let's take the time to read the research that is actually out there. Let's take the time to actually see what is the fit for purpose legislation for vaping. And for the moment, I'm hoping that, you know, government is beginning to hear what it is that we've actually been saying, and we can continue to engage with them and actually even present to some of the global leading researchers on the topic, so that we are informed by science when we legislate or regulate.
I guess the other issue would be, you know, a basic question here. Do you advertise as an industry? And is that allowed in the existing laws? And the reason why I ask that is because many people have suggested, and this debate was quite a strong debate in the 90s, that a lot of new smokers would go into the habit on the back and on the strength of the advertising that was pumped into the sector. I mean, I recall some of those old Peter Stuyvesant ads the whole sentiment around a very thrilling experience that they try to portray. Are you also playing in that industry as well? And have some of your members really gone out and aggressively advertised their products?
What we have found is that the people that are members, they have actually adopted some principles around the current existing tobacco legislation. So, for example, we clearly will not deal with anybody that is below the age of 18. That is the law, and we actually accept that. Mm. But also, even if the members wanted to go and advertise, the people that they would advertise with, they would say, but this is cigarette, because they are not educated around it. Mm. And we do not have a separate legislation that regulates the vaping industry. So for the moment, we actually take the guide from the tobacco industry, and we actually apply a sense check to say, if you want me to put a picture on my product of the impact of vaping on the smoker, I don't have that. There is no research around that. So I will not be able to do that. And as such, I won't do it. Mm. So that's why I'm saying this, that sense check that we actually are guiding our members to actually exercise and actually to apply when dealing with this. But we do not have big billboards on vaping. We do not have advertising on TV. So again, it's that sensible approach that we've actually adopted with our members.
What has the response been from some of the lawmakers here, once you've made the case that you're making, which is don't lump us together with the cigarette guys, but also be able to understand, the harm, that is associated with our product, which is relatively a lot less than that of cigarettes, but also some of the benefits potentially for people who want to quit smoking?
I think the biggest challenge that has always been there from the Department of Health specifically is the difficulty of wanting to engage around the table on some of these issues. Because, again, they're members of WHO that has a view that it advocates, don't sit with these people around the table. And we've actually tried to say we are reasonable, normal citizens that wants the best for all the people of South Africa, certainly those that actually want to switch from cigarette to e-cigarette or to vaping. So the engagement has really been formal. We've really been on documents. But to sit around the table and say, let's analyze the science. Let's analyze our submission. Mm. Does it make sense? Doesn't it make sense? Let's challenge each other around what it is that we think is reasonable. Sure. Unfortunately, we've not had that opportunity, and we certainly are looking forward to that.
If you had to paint a picture of some of the opportunities that exist in the vaping value chain in South Africa for newer entrants, because, especially in this particular feature, it's always about saying, when you look at a particular sector, can you take its different constituent parts apart as a value chain and say, here are the opportunities. If the opportunities are in the retail end of the market or in the branding side of the marketplace or in manufacturing or even in the distribution of it, here are some of the opportunities. Let's map them out and potentially what would some of the barriers to entry be to accessing some of those opportunities?
I think the beauty about the industry is that it's actually so new. It's actually an industry in formation. So we are not talking about the transformation challenges and is it transform, is it not transform? Because actually anybody that is actually interested can actually get R1,000, buy liquids and actually sell them for a profit. So if you look at the industry, quite frankly, anybody can get in at any angle. We still do not have the devices that are being manufactured in South Africa. There's an opportunity there. The coils, because the market is set to grow, there'll be a demand for more. People are switching. They're more conscious of the impact of cigarette on their health. They're looking for safer alternatives. Again, people can get into that. Logistics, how do you move some of the product from Cape Town to Johannesburg? So again, the end-to-end value chain is available to anybody and everybody that is interested. Mm. The industry is there to assist, to guide. But certainly, talk to us. We are on website, we're on Twitter, we're on Facebook, and we are more than happy to actually assist the way we can.
One of our listeners here on Twitter saying the common ingredient between cigarettes and tobacco, and tobacco, of course, has all manner of other things, or I should say cigarettes, is nicotine, which is addictive and which is known to cause all manner of other ailments. And he's arguing that concerns exist that vaping can be harmful because it exposes users to very toxic levels of concentrated nicotine, despite, of course, not having the tar and all of the other issues. But it does expose users to higher than usual levels of nicotine, which at low amounts has a mild analgesic effect, but is also harmful.
Well, there are various strengths in your liquids that people can actually buy. And obviously, it has to do with people's preferences as to what it is that they would actually like to purchase. So people can actually buy your liquids that are actually at about 0%. If you think that the nicotine is actually strong for you, you can get a 0.3, you can get a 0.4 and up to 0.18 milligrams. So it's actually up to you really as to what it is that, you know, suits you. And indeed, there's always an alternative to quit.
And I mean, I guess there's that challenge, right, of quitting. And in some of the deliberations that you've had and then the debates, have you had any bilaterals with some of the industry bodies that represent medical professionals? Because a lot of this really, I would venture to add, has something to do with medical professionals. If indeed one has decided to stop smoking the traditional cigarettes and then go towards vaping, most diligent patients would probably first speak to their doctor, and I would argue that certainly the reflections from some of the doctors have been nothing short of mixed.
Yeah. So I think that's what you'd find when something's actually still very new. Some people actually want a certain amount of data available, analyzed for them to be able to make a comment on a yay or a nay insofar as, you know, from the medical professions is concerned. However, because all of this is actually scientifically driven, we've actually tapped into some of like the world leading researchers on the industry, like Dr. Fasalinos. He's in Greece and is a leading author on issues of vaping. So we're constantly looking to see what it is that they're actually finding globally, but also locally. I mean, we've had our own conference at the tail end of last year as the Vaping Products Association, where we invited the medicals, we invited the likes of Dr. Human from Harm Reduction Alliance. We had Professor Raitemani, who is the head of psychology from the University of Medunsa. And again, to begin to talk about some of the things that they're concerned about, the challenges. And out of that, we're saying, as a country, we do not have as much research into the whole of vaping. We've just started. Where else can we be looking? We've actually been invited government and said, we need the research locally for our people. What kind of research should we be undertaking? So that is going to be important as we go forward to make sure that we mine this data to make informed decisions, and indeed to be able to educate, you know, now the consumers or the patients or people looking to switch, what is it that they will find and so forth. And maybe on this point, I can say, if you go to our website, we are diligent in updating it with global research, international, good, bad, what is coming out, so that again people can take an interest on that which they consume and look as to what is safer and what we are saying, is it indeed the case, and challenge us, because that's how we also get to grow as an industry.
Okay, let me sneak in one of our callers here, and we'll wrap up briefly on the other side of that. Sean, you're in Greenstone. Good evening to you.
Hey, everyone. How's it going, man?
Good, thanks. Yourself?
Good, man, and to your guest. Yeah, I used to be an occasional smoker. I've turned to vaping, and I can say I feel so much better. No more coughs, no more any of the problems. But having said that, I'm probably more addicted to nicotine than I ever have, because you can literally vape in 5 seconds.
How many milligrams are you taking?
Six more, there.
Okay.
Yeah, but what I find interesting is that, I mean, 5 years ago, there was no vape industry, basically. And my logistics company, we started doing a lot of work for the juice manufacturers. And it's crazy how from being no industry to these guys popping up, it became such a mafia monopoly kind of system, because there's only three or four major suppliers or shops that you can go to. They kind of control who they stock, the liquid.
Okay, Sean, I'd like you to just, if you can just hold the line for me for a second. I lost what you were saying towards the end. I'm quite interested in the point that you're making about the mafia in the space, and we'll allow you to continue that point on the other side. We just quickly need to check in with news. And this is Zodra, if I can get a few more minutes of your time so we can engage what Sean is saying and then wrap up on the other side. Dogoz, what's happening in the world of news, Mom? Sean, you were talking about the mafia, man. I want to find out more about that mafia.
Okay, so basically, as I said, there's maybe four or five major vape stores around, Vape King, Vape Right, all these kind of shops. Like, they have a very small number of them who actually capitalized on the opportunity in the beginning when there was no one really kind of taking that opportunity. And what happens is that you basically have to get your liquids in these shops in order to become profitable and sell them. And if you don't know the right people or don't have the right connections, you can't get your liquids in these shops. And as I say, my logistics company, we were importing for about three or four different liquid manufacturers a few years ago. We have all kind of shut down already because they weren't able to get within this little mafia or little group. So I think that's quite sad to see. Something that wasn't around 5 years ago has already been cornered and sectioned off really in the space of say, 4 or 5 years. So I just wish there was more opportunities for people because it is a growing industry. I think it is a good thing that it is replacing cigarettes. And as a vapor, I also find it frustrating that, like your guest said, we are lumped together with cigarette smokers, even though it is essentially water vapor that you're blowing out and isn't harmful to anyone else around you. So I just wish that this organization can kind of make more of an effort to open up the market to more players.
Awesome stuff. Thank you so much for that comment.
Thank
there,
you.
Sean. And I guess, Zodwa, a lot of what Sean is raising, which is about the dominance of a few players, because it is a new industry, also has an impact on price and by extension, affordability and accessibility of the product.
Absolutely. Thank you for the call indeed from Sean. So I just want to quickly say on that, because the industry is actually so small, there remains to be opportunities to actually continue to actually opening it up. So it's those that are entrepreneurs that are listening and saying, how do we seize the opportunities that are there so that we do not sit in this position 10 years later and say, we could have, we should have, but only of the few that closes out. Because I can tell you right now that, yes, there will be challenges in all industries, but the more people actually come in and say that I want to be in this space and they take it seriously and they grow with it, they will certainly be able to realize some benefit out of it. The second thing that you raised really is around the issue of affordability.
Sure.
So, the products are actually still expensive. Like I said, it's a new industry. There are few players. Parts of the vaping, the gadgets, you're still importing. So the more people we can actually be able to bring into the space, again, that's how we'll be able to push the price down so that more and more people can be able to have an option to choose on whether to switch or not and to quit at the end of the day. So I do think that, again, with more people coming into the space, we can be able to see the price of the liquid, of the coil, of your devices actually coming down and just making sure that, even those that are buying your cigarette and getting them cheap, they're actually able to, to play into the vaping market. So all in all, the opportunities are absolutely immense in this industry.
So Soto, we'll have to leave it there. And I guess the key takeaway for us is, the big opportunity exists in the broader mass market. So Ababandu, Bachaya, some of the mainstream brands at this point, at some point we assume will want to quit. And when they do want to quit, the big opportunity really rests in creating an affordable alternative for them. And of course, that alternative might potentially be vaping.
Absolutely. Well, thank you very much.
Awesome stuff. That there was Zodwa Veleman. She's the Chief Executive Officer at the Vaping Product Association, I should say, not the Vaping Producers Association, the Vapor Product Association of South Africa, VPA, talking to us as part of our market concentration feature on the vaping sector, unpacking some of the opportunities, some of the partnerships and the relationships in that sector. Which I must say is an emerging sector and a growing sector. And as with anything that is new, presents all manner of opportunities. And certainly grateful that we have had the opportunity to have you in studio to bring this opportunity to us. Thank you.
Thank you very much for having me.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.